Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's been a hard 6 months. Loss of jobs and loved ones, social and physical isolation, figuring out school plans and the uncertainty of how to be at home, confronting racism and our national's history of racial violence. It's been a lot, mentally and emotionally, and that is showing up in our everyday lives. A recent study from the Boston University School of Public Health found that the number of American adults with depression symptoms has more than tripled during the coronavirus pandemic. And people of color are particularly struggling. Their rates are higher as they are being affected disproportionately by the health and economic toll of the pandemic, while living through systemic racism and our national reckoning on race. So we want to ask you, how are you? How are you holding up with the stress that comes with this pandemic, with the reckoning, with our economic crisis? How are you coping, and what do you need to know about how to cope? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. And we have a wonderful group of guests to respond to you and have this conversation. First, we have Dr. Nicole Christian Braithwaite, psychiatrist and CEO of Well Minds Psychiatry and Consulting Company here in Boston, and Senior Vice President and Medical Director for Insight and Regroup Telepsychiatry. Welcome, Dr. Nicole.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Also on the line is Larry Berkowitz, a licensed psychologist in Massachusetts and the director and co-founder of Riverside Trauma Center. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Tiziana, hi. Good to be here.
And we're also pleased to welcome Boston NAACP President Tanisha Sullivan. Tanisha, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I really want to start by asking you each how you are. Tanisha, how are you?
Thank you so much for the question. I am well. I'm well and very fortunate to have today both physical, mental, and spiritual wellness. So thank you for the question.
Absolutely. How about you, Dr. Nicole?
I'm doing okay. I actually have a family member currently in the ICU with COVID, so that's certainly stressful. But beyond that, we're doing okay. Thank you.
Is your family member getting the care that they need?
Yes, I think so. He had to be emergently intubated a few days ago. So with COVID, everything is day to day, moment to moment. It's so hard to know where things will go.
I'm really sorry to hear that. Larry, how about you? How are you?
Thanks for the question. I say I'm doing well. I'm fortunate and blessed in many ways to be able to be working and be safe and have the resources to be able to be okay in these times. And yet, like everyone, I'd say I'm a little bit stressed. I'm feeling the loss of connection to my routines and my friends and supports, and everything's new and different for all of us, and that's a little stressful.
And listeners, again, I just really want to invite you into this conversation. Tell us how you are. Tell us what your questions are about mental health and coping. Tell us about your lived experience, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Are we seeing an increase in discussions about mental health, requests to become patients, requests for referrals, et cetera? Dr. Nicole, what are you seeing?
Yeah, certainly. So I think both with adults and children, I see both. I'm seeing people essentially trying to survive two pandemics, the COVID pandemic, which is disproportionately impacting people of color, but then the pandemic of this national discourse on racism, which has been an ongoing issue for people of color, but suddenly is becoming an issue for people who weren't living it every day. And for many people, All of these events, both with the death of many innocent Black people that were being inundated with these videos and these pictures, and the loss of family and friends, people are absolutely overwhelmed. And so many of the calls that I'm getting, not only from adults but from parents, I've been suddenly receiving numerous calls from college students who just arrived in the city, and they're stressed, they're anxious, they're overwhelmed, they're fearful.
Larry, what are the triggers? What are the stressors that people are experiencing right now that are more intense or new compared to what we might have seen, let's say, 12 months ago?
Well, certainly just the whole uncertainty of the pandemic, the worries, the fear that are out there. And I do think absolutely combined with the racial reckoning that's going on in our communities across the nation, the pandemic, the natural disasters that are happening, I think there's just this huge load on all of us to try to take in and process and understand. For as many of us as feel somewhat safe and are fortunate, there are just as many and even increased numbers of people who, while they understand what the needs are to keep themselves physically safe, have demands to continue to get to work, to care for others. You know, you mentioned some of the studies, the CDC that reported on data from April through June recently that said that 40% of adults reported struggling with mental health challenges or substance use that's new to them, and particularly younger adults, racial, ethnic minorities, essential workers, unpaid adult caregivers. So the stresses are significant and hitting a lot of people.
Tanisha, let's pick up on that last thread of what Larry just said. It's been a time of loss and trauma for the Black community, and very publicly so. Everything from the deaths of leaders like John Lewis, actor Chadwick Boseman, athlete Kobe Bryant, constant videos of police violence against Black men and women. How does that factor into mental health in this moment?
Yeah, no, I think this conversation is so critically important. And about 3-4 years ago, as an organization, the NAACP Boston branch, we really recognized the need for us to open up this conversation even more about mental wellness and mental health, primarily because, you know, as our nation is coming to get a better understanding of really the emotional and mental trauma that Black America has been experiencing for generations. The reality is Black America has been experiencing this trauma for generations. And for much of that time, for many of us, you know, seeking and receiving mental health supports has not been a reality. But what we are seeing, particularly within the last 12 to 18 months, I would say, and even more so over the last 3 months, is a greater awareness about mental wellness, and also an understanding that, you know, living with trauma, living through trauma, coping through trauma alone does not have to be your norm. And in fact, there are supports that are available, and that it is okay to seek them. Which quite frankly is a culture shift in and of itself. And so what I have been pleased to see are the number of members within the Black community and other communities of color really using their voice and their power to amplify mental wellness and encouraging people to seek supports and letting folks know that it is okay not to be okay.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mike's from Everett. Mike, you are on with our guests. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, something came up as you were talking, but the first thing I was going to say is this is really affecting people very differently. I'm in a pod with four adults, two of whom are not compromised, but yeah, at risk. And other three, their jobs are at home. Now they're at home and they're doing fine, no financial hit at all. Personally, I worked in the convention industry. I'm no work for 6 months. But what I was going to point out was I'm actually very privileged. I have a roof over my head. I am getting through this okay. I'm still feeling for the first time in my life what some low-grade depression issues, and I feel guilty for feeling like I need help when I look and I hear about people being evicted and people, you know, who have much bigger problems.
Mike, let us take it there, Mike, to give you some response. I'm glad you called. Two, I'm sorry about the job loss and the depressive feelings you're having. And I think there are a lot of people who would say they feel the same way. And I understand the question about guilt. Dr. Nicole, what do you think?
Sure. And I hear that very often, particularly if people who recognize and acknowledge their privilege, they will frequently express having some level of guilt. But it's also important to recognize that your struggle is still completely valid. We are all in this together. We're all struggling together. And of course, there's different levels of severity of each of our individual struggles. And I often tell people, even when thinking about trauma, it is not on us or on you to define what someone else experiences as trauma. What you may experience as being minimal may be incredibly traumatic for someone else. So it's still important to validate every stressful experience you have, because that is still stressful and it's still impacting you. And, you know, one thing that often helps people when we're feeling overwhelmed or stressed is if we can find ways to support other people. And in the midst of struggle, in the midst of having a hard time, if you're able to dedicate time or support others or support friends, that can often decrease some of that guilt.
And Dr. Nicole, I think we need to let you sign off now. Is that correct?
I have a few more minutes.
Okay, we'll keep you as long as we can have you. Thank you. And I do want to pick up another call here. Let's talk with Debbie. Debbie's on the line in Dracut. Debbie, what's on your mind?
Hi, yes. So I'm currently taking care of full-time my in-laws who are 88, 89. My father-in-law has congestive heart failure. The cardiologist literally said he's actively dying. I go to their house every day. I make sure his weight is good, check all his, you know, everything we have to take care of. He has visiting nursing, he has PT, and he has EMTs coming once a week to check him and everything. So with everything between COVID and all of my stress with them, with COVID, I was getting depressed and having a really hard time sleeping. Now that I take care of both of them, she's got Alzheimer's, by the way, too. So with me taking care of them, I'm getting more stressed. I'm getting really depressed. I'm not sleeping. I'm having constant nightmares. I'm having the time of my life, if you know what I mean. But I just,
yeah,
I don't
I'm
know
sorry,
how to
Debbie.
Make it even easier. You know, I just,
so let's
I'm
ask,
looking
Debbie,
for
let's
suggestions.
Ask Larry. Yeah, let's ask Larry Berkowitz that. Larry, suggestions for Debbie. And Debbie, I'm glad you called.
Yeah. Hi, Debbie. Yeah, glad you called, too. And, man, it's just piling on, isn't it? And I think so many people would say that it feels like one thing on top of another. And, of course, and sleep. That's something we're hearing from a lot of people, that disrupted sleep. You know, I would certainly encourage you. Two thoughts come to mind. One is that we have a structure at our place at Riverside Trauma Center we often talk about, which is trying to help people think about finding and maintaining safety, predictability, and control. Those are the kinds of things that can help us manage in times of high uncertainty like this. So your personal safety, what is that? You know, what are the things that you can predict? What are the rituals, the routines you can predict? Can you predict finding time to connect with others? What are the few things that you can control? Can you build in sometimes to connect with the people that are supportive to you, whether that's your connection to faith or have friends or other family that are healthy? Really trying to find whatever ways we can establish those sense of control in our lives. And I would say to you, please, as we were saying to Mike a few moments ago, reach out. This might be a good time to try to get support. We've been able to set up in collaboration with the state, the FEMA-funded crisis counseling program, which in Massachusetts is called Mass Support. And we'll be glad maybe, Tiziana, you could list some of that info on your website for the Mass Support program.
Yes, we can.
MassSupport.org. This is a program. We've got 50 counselors around the state who were able to take calls and connect with people to offer some supports, maybe some problem solving around the sleep issues and things like that. You talk about getting depressed. So many people are feeling some increased symptoms of that. But if it's really getting to the point where it's troublesome, I think to one of Dr. Nicole's points, this could be a good time to try to reach out and connect with a mental health professional. And it's so much easier in many ways to do that now that we can use telehealth.
I'd like to go back to the phones. Thanks for that, Larry. We've got Lewis on the line. Lewis is downtown. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yes, hi. My situation is this. I'm a 73-year-old black man born in North Carolina, went through a lot of that racism and stuff down here, brought up here during the Great Migration, people trying to get away from all of that racism. What I see is we have a problem that is unsolvable, because America is never going to accept black people as equals, and that's what we need. I just talked to the producer and told him, we give Israel $3 billion a year so they can have a safe place to live. America did nothing to the Jews. Look what they did to us. And all they give us is welfare, and then we get second-class medical treatment and everything. I think we need
Lewis,
a homeland. Yes, ma'am.
I hear your anger, and I hear the point that you're making. I'm sorry to cut you short, but I do want to make sure we get our guests a time to respond to you. I want to go to Dr. Nicole first and then Tanisha, just because I know Dr. Nicole Christian Brathwaite's going to have to leave us momentarily. Thank you for the call, Lewis. Dr. Nicole.
Sure. I think the anger that Lewis expressed is certainly felt by many African-Americans and many Black Americans that the conversation around reparations and what exactly does that look like, and recognizing that often when we're discussing racism and discrimination, people will often make the statement that slavery was so many years ago and I never owned slaves and my grandparents never owned slaves, but not recognizing that structural and systemic racism persists today. So as he mentioned, we certainly see that in the medical establishment, even in my field of psychiatry. Oftentimes we see that there's improper misdiagnosis of African-Americans or labeling African-American youth as being more aggressive. Or there was recently an article showing that Black babies were three times more likely to die if they had white doctors versus Black doctors, and the disparities that exist in maternal health care. And so certainly there are very real issues that need to be addressed, and we don't even need to go back to slavery. We can look today. And so to really change racism and impact it, it has to be done on multiple levels. So certainly in leadership, there needs to be a commitment at the highest office. There certainly needs to be structural and systemic changes, institutional changes, and then even on the individual level. I am hopeful. I do believe the change is possible, but it will take time and it will take a much larger commitment.
Tanisha, I want to turn to you, but I'm going to add one more caller voice in and then turn to you. We've got Steve on the line from Cambridge. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? So, it's been 100 plus days since my unemployment, and it's still not gone in through. It's been a mess, and I've torched through my my savings, and also I'm an Asian American fella. So, you know, renaming this virus as that other thing is not helping out. So that garbage that comes flying out of Mein Fuhrer Trump's exit wound, he called the mouth, is not helping.
Steve, I can hear your anger, too. And that, you know, that this frustration is something that we're hearing from so many of our callers. Tanisha, there's a lot there, and there's a lot from Lewis's call as well. Let me give you a chance to respond here.
There is. And I actually want to go all the way back to Debbie and first just affirm what Debbie, if you're still listening, what you are doing with and for your family during this time, and just want to lift you up and hope that that things do get better for you. And, you know, as we heard from both Lewis and Steve, you know, this issue of mental wellness and just whole health wellness, you know, is real. And it's something that I think many of us are coming to have a better understanding about how it's impacting our lives. And so whether we're talking about people of color, Black folks, Latinx folks, AAPI folks, or simply working class people who, you know, as Steve said, you know, have been out of work for, you know, 6 months with no real end in sight, this pain and this trauma is real. And it's particularly harmful for folks who believe in the promise of this country and keep hoping and believing that things can and will get better. And the leadership seems to be lacking, as Steve mentioned from the top. And so,
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I do want to break in there because I had not fully understood what Steve said. And I just I need to note he was angry with the president, but we don't certainly endorse the way Steve spoke about President Trump with his comments there. And I just needed to break in and say that. Please
go
ahead. No problem.
No problem. And but I think, you know, it's important to understand, you know, that we do, you know, aside from certainly accessing the supports and that have been mentioned on this program for mental wellness that are available to folks. It's also important to just as much as possible to try to remain connected to community and try to, you know, I think one of the things for me that's been particularly helpful is trying to remain connected to people who remain hopeful. Even in the midst of all of the chaos that we're all experiencing, from the public health crisis to the economic crisis to the racial reckoning. And it cannot be understated, to Lewis's point, that, you know, this is years for many Black folks with this racial reckoning. And there's pain and trauma in having to see and relive these images day in and day out with very little action happening. But try to stay close.
I'm sorry to interrupt there. We do now need to say goodbye to Dr. Nicole Christian Brathwaite, psychiatrist and CEO of WellMind Psychiatry and Consulting Company. Thank you, Dr. Nicole.
And thank you so much for having me.
And I do want to pick up one more call while we still have time. We've got Caroline on the line from Mashpee. Caroline, go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Go ahead, Caroline.
Okay. Yes. I was calling because you mentioned, you know, stories about depression. And I have never been depressed in my whole life. I'm a pretty upbeat person. I was a teacher and a science educator for the last 35 years, and this hit me hard, and I'll tell you why. It's because I felt hopeless and I felt worthless. I, with all this going on in the world, I've always made a difference, and I couldn't find a way to do it. And it became so bad that I had to reach out for help and with a doctor. And then I reached, they recommended I reach out to friends. I reached out to a good friend I worked with in teaching, and I said, I need help. I said, I need a project that is going to be meaningful, that can make a difference during this time.
And what was the project, Caroline? What project did you wind up doing?
She ended up recommending that I start doing hands-on video investigations for science for parents who are trying to homeschool their kids remotely.
That's great.
And they don't might not have an understanding or background. And I'm now doing videos that haven't been published yet, but they will be on YouTube.
And Caroline, I'm going to take it back from you there. We have limited time left, and I do want to give Larry Berkowitz a chance to respond to you. Thanks for your call. Larry, we've got about a minute left.
Absolutely, Caroline. Thank you for sharing your story. I'm sorry it was tough, and really glad to hear you sharing publicly that you reached out and got some help. You talked to, that's the best we can do. You know, all of us in this situation are feeling a little down. Doesn't necessarily mean we're clinically depressed. We're having, you know, some trouble. And when it rises to the level that it's really interfering with our functioning, we have to reach out to our friends, to our faith community, our pastors, our clergy, and to professional help. You described a great instance here where you were connected with somebody else who gave you some social support and a suggestion on how to get engaged in something important, some way of giving to the community. What a wonderful way to be helping yourself and others at the same time.
Well, I'm so glad that we did this to the callers who we weren't able to get to. Thank you for your call. We will do this again. That is Dr. Larry Berkowitz, licensed psychologist in Massachusetts and the director and co-founder of Riverside Trauma Center. Larry, thank you.
Thank you.
And Boston NAACP President Tanisha Sullivan. Tanisha, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.